with Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.
Today's show is brought to you by Renault, official car partner of the GAA. With a proud tradition in Ireland, Renault are committed to supporting those who give everything to the game on and off the field. And after another hard-fought road to Croker, they understand as well as yourselves how important it is to enjoy the journey. That passion for what drives you extends to the time you spend on the road, and with that in mind, head to Renault.ie/GAA for access to special motoring offers exclusive to GAA members.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show is. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Okay, hi folks, you're all welcome here, nearly on the eve of the All-Ireland. You're very welcome to the Renault-sponsored Irish Examiners 2019 Hurling Podcast. Great lineup today, as usual, myself, Anthony Daly, Ger Cunningham is with us as always. We're delighted to have Derek back. I've had you a good few times this year, Derek, pleasure, and thrilled to be joined by last year's Young Hurler of the Year and Man of the Match in the All-Ireland Final, Kyle Hayes of Kildymo, Palace Kenry. Great to have such a lineup, and we'll shoot the breeze, we'll tell a few yarns, I suppose, and we'll give our experiences of the day that's in it, whatever. I suppose I'd go back to one date, lads, and the 30th of June, I suppose, leaving Croke Park that day. I was at the Leinster final, the Munster final was on in Limerick, obviously. You were playing, Kyle. But you know, could we have seen a Tipperary-Kilkenny final that evening? Like, I was driving down here to Cork to do the podcast the following morning, and yet here we have it again, the old guard, at the end of the season.
Yeah, I suppose you could, coming out of it, I suppose, Anthony, you'd be saying that certainly you would have been looking at, I suppose, we said all year, I suppose, from the start of the year, Limerick were the team that we all kind of agreed at the time that Limerick were going to be there or thereabouts, and we all had a fancy for them. Who they were going to play was probably the question we weren't too sure about. But certainly, like Kilkenny, even the match before down in Wexford Park, like one puck of a ball, they could have been out. But they've certainly grown into it. They've certainly got a lot better. And now their form has been, you know, coming through against Cork, coming through against Limerick, hugely impressive. And like they're in the final, they're in with a 50-50 chance. And as I said before, how do you back against them in finals? Because like they've been so used to it, they've been in there, they've guys who have medals in their back pockets, like they're going to be very hard to beat. So, and Tip again. Tip probably were, you know, at the start of the year, have come through. Like they were very impressive at the start down in Cork, came through, and then had a bit of a dip. But again, have come back, and the way they won the game in the last 15 minutes, like, will stand them in good stead. So probably we didn't expect this one, but at the same time, it's one to look forward to now.
And Kyle, you know, I suppose you were in the thick of the action against the Cats, and I suppose the start shocked us all, and the stand, to be honest with you. I wasn't on duty for it. I was just there watching. I was on for the second one. And, you know, 1-8 to 3 points, we didn't see that coming. I suppose you didn't see it coming either.
No, we knew, like, before it, we have our homework done, them, like, and we knew the intensity they bring is savage, like, you know, and
did that shock you, that the level of intensity that they brought?
Yeah, straight from the right, like, you know, like, it was, like, as soon as you had the ball, it was 2 seconds, there was fellas hitting you left, right and centre, like, and we knew the level they could bring, but I don't know, they kind of overexceeded it really in our own heads, and like we knew watching them against Cork, they did the exact same thing, like, you know, they nearly bullied them off the ball, like, and we knew there was a danger of that happening to us, so we were trying to prepare for it, but they brought a storm, like, in fairness, and it took us a while to get used to it, like.
Yeah, and in fairness, you did, you know, tipped her, you know, like, again, I suppose one of the interesting things was there now, and look, at this isn't to undermine Wexford or Laois, but I suppose it was Christy O'Connor was telling me a story that he went for a bit of food in the Radisson after the Munster final, and the Tip team were there, and you know, obviously the Leinster final went the way it did, and he said, like, if someone said to you, Liam, you met Liam Sheedy in the lobby, and someone said to you, you'd have Laois and Wexford to go back to the All-Ireland, like, that you may have taken it, like, you know, no, Wexford obviously, you know, were a fair animal in that semi-final, but I suppose there was a way back for them, and they have grasped it, really.
Yeah, and that's why there's probably no surprise that they're back there, and that's due respect to Lee Shanwex for, I think, I expected a tip Limerick final. I thought we kind of all expected that, if we're completely honest, that you know, I thought Cork would beat Kilkenny, and then I thought Limerick would beat Kilkenny as well. But yeah, I think the path, it's still difficult to kind of get over that hurdle, though, even psychologically for Liam and the lads, when you're faced with so much talk about, look, geez, if you're offered Leash and Wexford at the start of the year, you still have to negotiate those hurdles. And that was probably downplaying Wexford's serious outfit as well, seriously organised and serious team. So to get through it in the manner they have done is very, very impressive, if not surprising, you know. I think the morning we're here after the Munster final, we said that we almost predicted that Tipperary would be back in the Munster final, or back in the All-Ireland final, if you like. So, yeah, hugely impressive. And the other argument, I suppose, around the Kilkenny one is the debate of whether it's a surprise or not that they're back there, even though we consider perhaps Limerick and Cork to have advantages over them. They're still a seriously experienced outfit at the same time, you know.
Yeah, and that was one of the things, I suppose, we did say early in the year, that the longer they'd stay in the championship, that the more dangerous they'd be because of the injury situation early on in the year, and, you know, the Richie Hogan's coming back and obviously Walter with his issues you know, various degrees of the young lads, you know, the likes of the Conor Brown stepping up, and, you know, Hugh Lawler stepping up, and that John Donnelly getting back into the team, things like that, that we didn't really know what way they'd pan out. And would the injuries come right for them?
Yeah, they have, I think, at the start of the year. I suppose they were vulnerable, I think, at the start of the year, with the injuries and the fellas that weren't playing. But now that they're, you know, they've got to the final, they're all back, and they're all fighting for their position, and they're all there, you know, and they're all... like, he has now a bit of a bench as well. He's got three or four guys that he can bring on, very experienced, you know, so that'll be... but he has introduced three or four guys from, I suppose, the last time they played Tip in the final, 2016, they got hammered. You know, he has introduced three or four or five players since then, whereas, I suppose, Limerick or Tip will, like, have a lot of, you know, a lot of the older guys who were still there then, like, you know. But the interesting one for me, just before you go off of data, what I was going to ask Kyle would be, you know, the Limerick, you know, the last, the sideline ball, I suppose, the... You know, at the end of the match, you know, Limerick were very gracious and said that the game was over and it was a done deal. But I suppose from a player's point of view, Kyle, at the end of the game with a sideline pucked, you know, that was went out for a 65 that wasn't given. He must have been gutted.
Yeah, we were. Like, there's no point saying we weren't. Like, but look, I don't know. These decisions are big decisions to make. Like, and fair enough, maybe the ref's point of view, we mightn't have seen it. Because to be fair, I was standing next to him and I didn't see it. Like, but... The linesman Gears is there behind him, and he said it was fairly clear, and supports behind him, actually work, one of my colleagues in work, he was right behind him, and he said it was clear as day, you've seen it. Like, but look, that's their look. Like, you need luck to win in Ireland. Like, we had loads of luck last year on our way to win in Ireland. Like, would you see, for instance, Graham McKay's goal in the final, like, you know, dribbled in over the line, like so you need these bits of luck. And look, the ball kind of jumped in their way, and to be fair, we had lots of opportunities to win in, and we had plenty of wides. So we're not going to blame it on that, like, but it would have been nice if it went out 65, and if it went over, it would have been nice to dream what happened in extra time, like.
Yeah, those things kind of, what struck me, and you said it there, like, there was no one else seemed to know, bar Dara, Brian Geary, and I'd say Killian Buckley. That's, and now how the linesman didn't know, as I've not to be harping back on the semi-finals, we're looking forward at this stage, but... That was my big thing. If the sideline ball was on the Hogan stand side, there'd have been pandemonium, and it probably would have bought a few seconds, and Alan Kelly would have gone, here, check that there with Lee, you know. And I think that was the crucial thing. It just happened to be on the Cusack stand side, where there was very little officials or selector subs, you know, county board officials, John McKenna, Mike Reardon, etc. You know, who would have all absolutely gone belubas, like, and would have had a line on it, you know. I think that's the big thing.
Can I just ask something there, Dale? Are we accepting now that they are actually checking these decisions upstairs? Because, you know, after the Wexford square ball one in the Tip match, he definitely waited for a while there as if he was looking for information from somewhere, didn't he?
I think that was a follow-on, Larry, from the Saturday night. You know, from the what happened on Saturday night. For me, if you're Sean Clear, you're sitting at home Saturday night, you're looking at the debate around the 65 with Limerick, you're kind of saying... Is there a way of improving on that tomorrow? You know, I think there was almost kind of a 24-hour kind of, you know, thinking process for Sean Clear and his umpires team, and they're basically saying to themselves, no matter what happens, we're not going to make the same mistake that was made at the end of the Limerick game. To the extent that there was nearly too much thought then put into it. You know, it sounds a contradiction, but it was almost kind of, yeah, I'll wait, I'll listen to this, I'll see what happens here, will I award or will I not? Which ultimately is where it's probably going to go anyway, but if that was streamlined to be an actual process that everyone follows, well then there'd be greater collaboration and everyone would be working together on it, you know?
But there's no doubt, Derek, on that, like, we've seen a few football calls as well. Even David Goff has been controversially named. The Kerry boys here on Monday did an assassin job on him, I think. Whether it was contrived or not, it wouldn't be in Cork, Gerard, would it?
But that poor David Goff has gone in under so much pressure now that he has to look after the Kerry fellas, in fairness. So a bit of reverse psychology might have worked, you know?
But I can remember having a tenner on Paul Mannion to get the first goal in the Cork Dublin football game, and he put out his two hands for a penalty, and Paul Mannion was picking up the ball, and I was saying, "What a lovely jubbly here, 8-1." But someone said something to him, it wasn't a penalty. And again, look at that's the funny bit of it, but and that was the tenor wasn't too funny, but but look, definitely the Jake Morris goal, like. Sean Clear had made no signal as the ball was hitting the back of the net. We looked at it, rewound it every way we could now on the day. I don't know, we on that night there, but like he had no signal made when the ball hit the back of the net. And to me, it was, you know, for the advantage rule, like that had to stand as a goal. So I don't know, Lara, to be honest, they don't tell us these things really, whether it's a special Congress or what. They really only tell us the start of the following year if there's a change. But there seems to be more communication going on. I just think they just missed the line ball in the Limerick game.
Can the fourth official there, the substitute referee, can he see a screen, do you reckon? Or?
Well, I'd say, I don't know, to be honest now, because, and I'm only speculating, but I presume it's the Hawkeye lads above, you know. I mean, the Brian Hogan one, I mean, again, like, we didn't think, did you know that was in existence for the crossbar, like?
No.
I didn't know. Did you know that, sir? As a goalie, like?
No, I wouldn't have understood that, but I would have said that probably, like, if the Hawkeye, I suppose the Hawkeye technology is to work, it would probably be that, you know, it's there and probably over the crossbar as well. But again, it was probably only until it happens that it doesn't come out. You know what I mean? So, but at least now we know going forward that it's there for the crossbar as well.
And like Kyle, when you were sitting down, and we leave it at this, when you were sitting down to have a couple of pints on the Monday, was it a source of debate at that stage, or just did lads accept? Because I can only go back now to Fado, right, 21 years ago when Jimmy Cooney blew a whistle early. There were supporters in the pub with us going balubas. Yeah. Why did we agree to our replay? Why didn't we go home out of Dublin that night? And to the players, we really didn't. You know, we got our chance, we felt, the third day, and weren't good enough to beat Offaly on the third day, and we accepted that. But certainly among the supporters, there was a fair amount of angst, I would say.
You would have heard it, of course, in the coming days and the week and so, like, but in a dressing room now, right, like, when we were sitting down in this outer shower and so lads had it up on their phone, like, it was up on Twitter within seconds, like, you know. So
that's the difference.
That's the thing, like, you know, and we were looking back and then we obviously are a bit angry about it, but we know there was a few fellas going around saying we shouldn't have came off the field and should have sat down in the middle of the field, like, for sure.
I have this history on that as well, actually. Well, I'd be accused of coming back. This podcast could go back to the 50s. We agreed in the 60s about anything, Derek.
Jeez. I've been aggrieved since 59, never mind say the 60s.
Well, you're certainly aggrieved since last year, you know, with Austin catching the ball a foot in front of the crossbar.
Yeah, and if you want to add to 2016, Owen Murphy catching the ball over crossbar, where was Hawkeye that day? But look, I'm hardly bitter over.
I know. Look, should I get back to, you know, let's say, like, looking at tip season, lads, you know, flying, like, you know, what a performance down here in the park against, you know, beat Waterford. Now, Waterford probably didn't play up to form, neither did Clare. But I was still, like, Clare had gone to Waterford and won, then had a break. And we're coming at tip fresh in Ennis, and we have this romantic notion about Ennis being this hard place to go to, and they came up and beat us 13 points. Like, I mean, they were absolutely flying. And for me, from that day, even the day you played them, no, Kyle, and I would say you rested a few lads for the Munster final or the third place position, which we've debated here, so again we won't go back on that, but for me their form has dropped off since then until 20 minutes to go the last day, really.
Yeah, hard to disagree with that. And I think the confidence gained from the last 20 minutes, as well as the crucial kind of confidence gained from almost finding a panel, if you like, you know, on the back of tip beating Cork in the under-20 final, you know, Jake Morris had come on in a couple of previous games, had a couple of bad wides. He plays well in the 20 finals, gets the winning goal, comes on, he's flying. Ger Brown comes on, gets a point. Willie Connors comes on, gets a point. Mark Hugh comes on, gets a point. It's almost as if Liam, not by accident, you know, when John McGrath was sent off, like the Bubbles and John McGrath, I would say, have had a mid-season kind of blip, if you like, in terms of their form. Initially, like, they were lighting it up down against Waterford, against Cork, against Clare, if you like, you know, and the movement was back. And then they had, as you said, they had the blip, but it's the 20 minutes now that have almost kind of solidified where they were initially in the year is the crucial thing, you know.
Would you think, Derek, the fact of they had a bit of space in the last 20 minutes, that they were down to four, they were only five forwards, and I think that played into Tipperary's hands, where there was a huge amount of space, and like that's the one thing probably Sunday that they might not get. But I think in looking back in it, like the fact that they had, you know, they'd only five forwards, you know, it kind of created a kind of bit of a panic situation. They just went in, they just moved everywhere, and even the subs coming on really hadn't a lot to lose, because you know, they were down to 14 men. Expectation was gone the other way, and all of a sudden they all contributed scores. You know, so like from a point of view, just
and I tell you, it goes back to a point that Dale made on the Sunday game 2 years ago, 17, when Cork had a man sent off, and even the Cork Dublin game that Anthony was involved in a couple of years ago, when Ryan O'Dwyer was sent off, that classic debate of whether you should bring back an extra back to solidify it when the man is sent off, to keep the 7-5 situation and say we're steady here. It was almost as if Wexford, knowing that they had an extra man, all said we'll all push. And the space kind of indirectly opened up for Tip based on having five forwards. So that'll be the interesting thing ahead of the game, in that I just remember reading James Barry after the 16 final. He said, we watched the Waterford Kilkenny semi-final and we said, Jesus, Kilkenny are leaving a lot of space between their half-back line and full-back line. So I think if you're Joey Holden, if you're Paul Murphy ahead of the weekend, you're going to be saying to the boys, Conor Fogarty and Paulie Welch and Paddy Deegan in front of you, hey, we only want 15 or 20 yards there. In terms of, so that's like, are we going to have a situation that where Joey Holden was faced with Jamie Callan 2 years ago, where there's 8 or 9 points and an ocean of space in front of him?
And the interesting thing on that is that you have two of the three of the full back line still there. Like, yeah, obviously, yeah. Hugh Lawler has replaced young Prendergast, yeah. And you know, you still have the two boys there, and you have a lot of the same matchups.
Yeah, and what you have, outside of even the tactical setup, you have their own pride, like Murphy and Holden. And they're proud men, like, they're basically saying it's not going to happen again on my watch, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, how Tip will create the space outside. And it might involve five forwards.
Do you think they'll keep the structure? Do you think that Kilkenny will keep the setup? They'll keep the six backs in 3-3?
I'm not sure, if I'm completely honest. I think Fogarty will go so far with, if he's on Niall O'Mara, if he's paced, like if 12 is Niall O'Mara, if Bubbles is 12, it's different. You leave him go 100 yards, he'll pick you for 4 points from left half forward. So I think it'll depend. Will they go to a situation that they went in 2-11 where they each pick a man, they go at him everywhere, and then they leave Paulie Welch sit, you know, one of the defenders, if you like, kind of cover, if you like. So I'm in between on that, even in terms of what they might do. If you go on Kyle's game, you know,
they basically said,
you know, Tom Morrissey, Coyle and Hegarty, you're going to be met by Donnelly, TJ Reid and Walter Welch, and it's a war outside. And then Fogarty and the boys are not following Coyle and the lads to a certain extent, you know, and it's just, that's where they bring the intensity, you know.
Just sitting in the box, I think I was beside Jackie, and he's saying, look where Tom Morrissey is, like, at one stage, you know, and the ball was over, we'd say, on the Cusack stand side, and you were playing up into the hill, first half. And Tom Morrissey literally was back where I'd have been playing in my day, left half back. And Conor Fogarty was 40 yards. Well, you'll be kind of more central now. Like, and Tom's maybe plays the channels more, like, you know. I still like, why would he not shove up a bit on him? You know, close it to 15 yards or that. But he said, no, they're just keeping that structure, I'd say. And, you know, trusting their own half forward line tomorrow. How did you find them one-on-one in that situation?
Like, I suppose, like, that's the dilemma that's created, like, and that's what we try to do every day. You go out, like, you know, like, we knew, thinking ourselves now, and we had a bit of research done, like, we knew the, especially after the Cork game as well, like, when there was acres of space inside for the two lads, or the three lads, like, we knew that there's going to be a lot more protection back there, and when you've likes of Glenn and Mulcahy and Peter as well, who are all in serious form, like, you know, so I think we knew there was going to be a bit more protection, and that as a half-hour line, we'd have a bit more freedom going back to field, like, and look, like, as I said, they kind of play a similar thrust. They're half far dropped, and they're in between the midfielders, so it's kind of a 5v5 there in the middle. And it, as Derek said, like, it's just all out war there, like, you know. And they were coming out in individual battles, they were coming out on top, like, and I think, like, when they get a bit of taste of blood, they just kind of go for the juggler then, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, no, there's no doubt from half time in the Cork game where Hoggy and Cadigan were causing wrack, they reorganised and I think they kept that kind of, in general, obviously playing a different team in Limerick. I actually felt, you know, I was listening to it last night, it's great since off the ball went to 6-7 and News Talk has gone to 7-8. It's great, you're stuck in a car. You've sport nearly straight through, except when they start talking about rugby. Sorry, rugby crowd out there. Limerick not in the final, Kyle, it's okay. But, no, and I thought it was great, refreshing stuff last night, Derek. I know you had 2 weeks to reflect on it on holidays. And, but I thought your honesty was great last night. And look, we won't go back to the stuff about formations and that kind of thing. And we've talked about that. And I don't think that has changed, actually, lads. A massive amount in that I mark Michael Dignan in go back those years again, 21 years ago, and he spent the whole game trying to drag me out to leave space for Billy Dooley and Frank Lohan roaring at me, don't go, don't go. Do you know, and like there's all that still going on, I suppose, and everyone trying to win that middle third battle. I thought something interesting you said last night was in 2017 against Galway. No, you had your regrets, would say, on the Conor Gleeson thing, not fighting it maybe harder. Maybe a couple of things you said. Some fella texted you the night before, doing you a favour. Like, you know, you even spoke about taking maybe 2 days off after the semi final. Is Michal, I don't know who did was. And I would have been wrecked by those things as well. No, I never got to a final as manager. But even, you know, you would be always thinking back, I suppose. But you said, I was sorry I didn't make a bomb site out of it altogether and play no full forward line.
Yeah, sounds a bit extreme, but if you like, it goes back to even Kyle, the point he's just made. He said there, we knew that they weren't inclined to open up space for Galan, Casey and Mulcahy. So, in retrospect, would Limerick be better off bringing their six forwards out to the bomb site, if you like, to the war zone early on and working it from there, you know? And I think, yeah, there was twofold in that. You know, I think we played well in the semi-final. And again, you're led a little bit by how you played in the semi-final. It was kind of open and Austin went in on a spectacular goal. And then you kind of almost be kind, you don't say to yourself, well, what do we need to win this game? As opposed to kind of, you know, and you're afraid to change a little bit. But that, you learn from those type of experiences. And I think that's what Kilkenny did to Limerick in many respects. Like with what Donnelly and what TJ Reid and what Walter Walsh did and what Mullen did coming from the corner, they basically... Five of their six forwards nearly operated as bloody like rugby forwards. Sorry for the rugby analogy now, but you know, and they were just chasing the ball wherever it went, and there was no kind of. That's where I see the change over the years. You know, you'd be told your wing forward stay out in the wing, you know, stay out in the wing, or if you went back the field over the years, a fella would say to you, "What are you doing back here? We don't need you back here. Get up the field," you know. And I think that's what has changed for me. But yeah, I think you'll see that for me. That'll be the interesting thing ahead of Sunday. Like, will it be conventional to a degree, or you know, where will Tip get their scores, or Kilkenny get their scores? When I think you'll see a lot of just up and down the field from both sets of fours, a lot of dual roles, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking while you were saying there about the wing forward, what are you doing there? Get back up the field. He, looking at this specimen across the table from us, he probably literally wasn't able to get back up the field if he went down the field. He was saying, come out to the corner forward. I actually thought nearly the opposite to that with the semi final, no. I thought that John and Paul might have set up with just 6-on-6. Just unusually now for Limerick. Galan full, Peter in his corner, Graham in his corner, the three line in, even if it was only for 7 or 8 minutes, to throw off maybe Cody from, Jesus, what's going on here? Like, and you know how to switch back, obviously. You're very comfortable with the game you play. I thought that might have been the bombsite move. So to absolutely throw him off and say, no, we're going to take you on the shootout. We're better than you. So, no, we're going to trust in our half-back line just to mark man-o-man-o, you know. No, Declan obviously wasn't right. I didn't look right, you know, but it's guess how, you know, ifs and buts afterwards that you can maybe say what you might have tried on the day.
Are you planting a seed for Liam Sheedy to do something like that on Sunday? That he would you think he might go something like that for 10 minutes to try offset, try put upset Cody, like, because he's been there so many times.
Yeah, not taken away from Liam at all. He's been has Liam come back. Thank God he has blown one thing out of the water anyway. Never go back. Yeah. For 3 to 4 of us anyway in here. If you want to go back, lads. So I think we talked about that in a minute, Derek, after listening to last night. But no, I think you again have to look at Eamon O'Shea's role, yes, tactically, you know, and like what will he come up with, and you know, I think you might see something like that.
You will come up with something. Eamon O'Shea is a master tactician of those things, and the amount of movement, because it's probably the one thing that Kilkenny don't want to have is the guys around them moving. Like Cork got it for 20 minutes in the first half. They got great movement. They got the balls into space, and then they put Pádraig Walsh back, and you know, the whole thing kind of was stymied a bit. But I think Eamon O'Shea, like in the background, is a crucial factor in this in relation to how he wants to get the players set up. How will he, as you said, if you put Bubbles up wing forward, you know, just a subtle move from centre, and if he pops over 4 points, all of a sudden, you know, there's questions to be asked. What do they do? You know, and I think he'll be trying to find those questions to be asked to Kilkenny, because you nearly for certain Kilkenny will know they're going to set up in the back line, you know, 3-3.
Yeah.
They won't change.
Yeah.
Whereas can Tipperary find something that'll cause them a problem?
Yeah, and I think you might just say, lads, about 7 minutes, we'll give the nod. We're 4-0 be in to say we're switching back to whatever we're doing. You know, that Noel will sit a little bit deeper, link with the half-back line, whatever, and that kind of thing. And Michael Breen will have license to charge through the middle, guys, pick him out, because if he gets the ball in the run, we know how powerful he is and that. I just think they might try that right at the get-go. They might just say, 6-on-6, here, Brian, it's a traditional final. We'll go at it, and we'll see who'll come out on top in a shootout.
Yeah. Probably people will think that what they'll try to do maybe is to get Cannon on top of the square, at the top of the apex, on Hugh Lawler, on his own. If they can create that space at the two corners, or that he's got the space inside, you'd fancy him to win that battle.
Yeah. So on that, what way do you think the matchups will go? I thought, now I'm not blowing your arse for you now, Kyler. But I thought it was a mistake when they moved you back on TJ. They didn't leave you on TJ for the second half. I would have felt he wouldn't have been catching it clean off you. He was man the match. He didn't score fair enough in play, but he created so much. And I'd have felt, you know, after having you there at Freshers and Pat Donnelly putting you there at 21s, you'd have been comfortable there, like, and could have gone man-o on him. Like, I thought it was a mistake, and I think it'd be crucial to weekend which of the tip half-back line, which of the Mares, I suppose we're speculating, will pick him up.
Yeah, look, I would have liked the challenge of it, anyway, to be honest, like, but I suppose when you're down going in half-time, like, and...
Are you listening to that, John Kiley?
When you're down going in half time, like, and you have a player sitting back, like, you know, and usually centre forward, and maybe you're thinking, fuck it, we should probably push up here, like, and look, I think he was probably looking in that perspective and trying to limit the damage at the back while all of us pushing forward, and let's see what we can do up here, like. But I do think that issue needs to be targeted, like, because TJ Reid has been unbelievable this year, like, you know, and if you're giving him loose ball around the middle of the field, like, he'll just cause havoc. Even if, as you said, if he's not scoring, he'll bring other players into it. Like, and I think their puck out as well, like, their puck out is a massive thing. And the two targets, really, like himself and Walter Walsh. And if they're not winning it clean, it's either breaking off and their midfields are shooting in across from the front of them, getting on that break. So I think he's a vital cog in a lot of senses. Like, and I think it'd be very naive if they didn't have a game plan around that. Like,
yeah, it's some out ball for Owen Murphy, isn't it, to be able to, I'm under pressure, they're closing off the short ones for me here, and I can still go down on TJ. Yeah,
he's very accurate with his puck outs, like, he's not just pucking up there for a second. Oh,
they're lovely balls to catch as well.
Yeah, and you throw in John Donnelly, who is very good in the air as well, yeah. So they've three of them there, they're great targets, because I suppose traditionally, they don't go short, they will put it down there long, and they'll say, well, you take your chances, and we'll win that battle down there. And you, Richie Hogan, sniping around the place there, coming out of the corner forward and that kind of stuff. So I don't think you'll see anything. Don't be too many short puck outs on both sides on Sunday, I'd say.
And who would you think? Who would you think? Will they bring, the speculation is they'd bring Brendan in on TJ?
You're only trying to think, I suppose, what they do. The championships thus far would probably suggest that he will. You know, he's picked up Gillan. He went back in the corner on Gillan against Limerick. He picked up Austin against Waterford. He picked up Tony Kelly against Clare, and he picked up Rory O'Connor, I think, the last day. So he's been around the place. The debate then is, does TJ go into full forward for the first 15 minutes and bring Brendan Maher to full back? Does he hand him over? You know, it's can you have a grey area around TJ Reid? So that's what you're asking yourself as a manager. You know, we 2016, I remember the curveball they played in midfield against us in the replay of 2016, you know, and then he picks up ball coming so deep because he's operating in his half back line as opposed to where it was previously congested the week before in Croke Park. So, you know, I think that's the debate for Kilkenny and then does Walter Welch match up with Pádraig Maher? Does he go left half back and match up with Walter Welch? And does Pádraig basically say, well, listen, I'll concede 3 points to Walter Welch and I'll still protect the area where Colin Findlay is going to be as well, you know, from the wing almost, you know, yeah. Something like a wing back that Dermot Burns often does for Limerick, where he'll sit from the wing as opposed to sitting from centre back. So they're the interesting matchups for me. And then what will Kilkenny come? You know, will they come in the classic where they put Henry over and John O'Keefe 1 year, you know, at left half forward on a novice wing back? And it's just, they're the interesting
sometimes
things
for
me.
Sometimes he can go for the juggler as well. I remember him putting Henry on Sean Hogan in that Ireland final. Was it 06?
Yeah.
Just like, my big man is as good as your big man kind of thing, you know. And
I'm not so sure with the Brendan Maher one. I just, because of the fact of you're then moving, the whole fulcrum of their team is Pádraig Maher centre back is one. Mm. Phenomenal player, and all of a sudden you're nearly saying to him, you're not good enough to mark TJ Reid, so we're going to put you out to the wing.
But he's a comfortable seven as well.
If they're in trouble at full back, he could step in there as well. But I just think that I'm not so sure that it's nearly like we're upsetting our team to mark your centre forward, and I'm not too sure that, especially if you have such a great player at centre back, will they take a chance and maybe put Brendan Maher on Adrian Mullen? I don't know, someone that, because he's been effective in all the matches.
Very good, sure.
Brendan Maher could go in there. So I just think they mightn't be so quick to move their team. Yeah. They have a fallback situation if it doesn't go well, but not so sure that they'll take Pádraig out of
it. Yeah, well, I just thought the last day, because of the way Wexford are going to set up, and you have a fair idea that was kind of easy, drop James Barry and play Barry Heffernan.
Yeah.
Because Barry Heffernan, as we know, as a halfback traditionally, you know, would be very comfortable. We saw him linking up. We took him off at 5 minutes to go because he was exhausted, I'd say, with the amount of ball. He was chasing down Harry in, and we saw him setting up Joe Brown for the point 30 yards out from the opposition goal, you know, on a running. It was almost like, to go back to rugby again, there's too much rugby being mentioned in this show. Larry, you're not happy at all. You take a bit of Arsenal, but no rugby. but it was three little short passes, and Joe Brown was in on goal, really, like, you know, and Heffernan. But then we don't saw Heffernan with being a man marker on Colin Findlay.
Well,
so will Ronan Maher have to go back there? Because Colin Findlay, to me, all the talk is will it be TJ or Seamus Callanan be player of the year? But Colin Findlay has made a fair contribution from the club final on.
Well, that's the one thing in my head, I suppose, going through that one thing, who will tip play fullback, you know, because Colin Findlay has been phenomenal. He's been going a long time, Dale, all year. They've been training all through the year, you know, going right through Patrick's Day. It's been a long year for four of their team, you know, that played in the club final. So you'd wonder, would they still have that little edge when it comes to the end of the season? But I think at full, like the Tipperary fullback, do they go with Ronan Maher? Do they go with Seamus Kennedy? Do they go with Young Heffernan? It's a big call for them, because James Barry, did they bring him back in like in a man-to-man situation? And like, it's very unusual that when you go into an All-Ireland final to have your fullback position as questionable and as open as to who's going to play there.
Yeah, I wonder, since Colin left the army and hasn't been running around Lebanon and the Curra with backpacks on his back, has he got a new lease of life? Although he kind of mentioned at the time that it wasn't too much hard work, really, the army. So we won't go there either. There was a lot of debate about that. But my God, he's in some form. Yeah. The two finishes against Cork, I mean, the goal against Cork kept him in the game, you know.
Yeah, it did, and he's been, you know, all year long when they needed a score, he's the, you know, and they've been quite similar goals: get the ball, take it on, go in, bat the ball in, like, you know what I mean. A lot of goals have come this year from batting the ball in. It's a new tactic that has kind of come on stream more or less in the last couple of years. You know, take the man on, can't be hooked or blocked. It's very difficult. It's a brilliant skill as well, but he's been brilliant for them, and he's been their go-to man in the full forward line.
Donal O'Grady drove the Limerick boys demented when he went up coaching them.
Yeah, we had it as well. You know, when he was there with us as well. Yeah. Like, you know, I suppose he was a fullback. I suppose he was a fullback and knowed how to tackle a full forward. How do you block him? But if you're behind, if the full forward has rounded you and you're behind, you can't do anything about it other than pull him down. You know, it's a great tactic.
That's why you'd probably be, if you're a backing man, you'd back on a penalty of some sort the weekend, you know. Because if you're Brian Hogan and you're Liam and you're preparing defensively for Colin Finney, you're kind of saying if he gets inside, he's probably going to score. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a penalty awarded and some, you know.
TJ score.
8-1, Dillo.
No, but even Brian Hogan, I'd say you'll see a quicker, you know, off the line. I'd imagine, you know, Gerard know more about over the last few weeks, would a goalie be concentrating on getting quicker off his line to counter Colin Findlay? You know, just the aspects, I suppose, of preparation ahead of the weekend. And you know, that's the alternative, as you talked about the game plans of Pádraig Mar. I'd say in Limerick went with the approach where there was not grey area around TJ. They relied on their Morrissey, Hayes and Hegarty axis there to basically say, we'll get to TJ, as well as being able to get forward. So that would then leave Pádraig Mar play as a kind of a 55 or 60 yard centre back. I'll pick TJ up when he's, you know, within 60 yards, but it's very grey around a fella that can hurt you that much, you know.
Yeah, it is. I suppose when you look at it from a point of view, I think he'll be like, TJ has scored it from play in the last two games. He's had a huge influence in both games, but I think in the Cork game and against Limerick, he hasn't scored from play. So, and both those teams would have had the same scenario. Do we man mark him, or do we protect? But he's that's the interesting part.
Yeah, but I suppose
Tip have choices.
The learnings from that would be that Stevie McDonald went to centre back, and then are you taking away what Ellis did in the previous games in terms of mopping up ball or distributing it? You know, I suppose they're the things that.
And the space that's created,
You know, because he's following everywhere.
Others,
yeah.
You know, that's also, I'd say, a lot to do. Midfield, like, I suppose I found it desperate hard to call, but eventually you kind of have to get an article in, or Larry Ryan will be on your case, or Colm O'Connor, and you have to kind of go for a winner. Sometimes these predictions bits I hate about the whole thing, but just thought for me, going on the last day, you know, maybe Killian Buckley will start. We're speculating, but Richie Leahy, Conor Brown, who's done a fine job since he came in, and obviously did a great job for Fijer in the fits as well. You know, faced with Noel McGrath, who's having a fantastic season, and Michael Breen, okay, can be a little bit erratic on a given day. Do you know, I just thought that might be my, if I was to swing it on something, do you know, if I was to say, where's the edge here? No, of course, if Conor Finlay comes up with 2-2 full forward, it's probably negate what happens in midfield. But, you know, they would have an advantage there if they clicked.
Yeah, I think Conor Brown has been, since he's come on, I think that in the Cork match, I would think that Cody threw him in there to Mark Darragh Fitzgibbon, because they would have played with each other this year with UCC. And like, Conor Brown is a huge engine on him. He's a very energetic player. He follows the ball quite a lot. He just sometimes loses his kind of focus on where he should be in the attempt to actually get on the ball. But like, he'll go forward and he'll drive forward. I'm not so sure that I would put him on Noel McGrath. I think that Noel will be sitting deep, and I'd actually swap it around. I'd put Killian Buckley on as a more experienced player on Noel McGrath, and I'd leave Conor Brown fight it out with Breen, because they're quite similar in situation. They're both, but Breen can hurt you. Breen can get a couple of scores, you know, on his day. We spoke about it off air that how good a player he can be when he's very good. But he's had some mixed matches as well, where he's been anonymous and he's been taken off. So Conor Brown's been brilliant, and he's only grown into the position. And as we all know, his background is very steeped in tradition and playing in All-Ireland finals and that sort of stuff. So I don't think he'll have a problem with that. But I think he might pick up Breen rather than pick up McGrath.
Yeah, midfield, Kyle.
It is a tough one because I've experienced the both of them. Like, but I think if Noel McGrath, if you're giving him space, like especially with the inside forward Tip have, like. If, and the space in Croke Park too, like, you know, we experienced down in Turles there where he was getting the balls and he was putting into fellas' hands for 70-80 yards away, you know, and he can do that. He has that in his locker, and he does drop that bit deep, and that's why he gets on the ball, and he's hitting it from an optimum position in midfield instead of Pádraig Mar or Brendan Mar or Ronan Mar hitting in the half back line where maybe they're on the back foot, and he acts as a bit of a link there midfield, and he has that extra 10 or 15 yards in that space then to deliver that perfect ball, essentially. Like, but I think on the other hand then as well, like, I think I was talking about Kilkenny's puckouts there, like the two wise midfield, like, they're essential for that breaking ball. Like, they're making that run from side or run bursting on that in front when the ball breaks in front, and it could all open up from there, like, you know. So I think they have a lot going forward too, like, and they can't be underestimated, like, but I do think Tip might have it there in midfield.
Yeah, vital, vital area. Sure, there's no area that's not vital. I was just thinking about it as well last night there. You know, it's the last game of the decade. I know you needed to win one, Ger, before to keep history going. But I don't think it's too far away with these underage teams and that. But I think it's a bit fitting. Everyone had a taste of a bit of glory of sorts, especially Kyle, I suppose, last year. I suppose Clare for me in 13, even the Dubs getting a Leinster, you're getting there, Derek. Do you know, Cork have been so close. Galway got 1-1 for the first time since 88, but they've given us like the 10 They've drive for five. They've given us the greatest game that I've seen, I think, in 14. And then the 16 final, where I suppose Tip were the dominant force. And you'd say Cody has just this massive rebuilding job that's going to take years. Has he got it? And now he's back in the final 3 years later, Derek. But I just thought it might have been a little bit fitting that they bookend. That's no good to Kyle or Davey or anyone, you know. That, you know, Tony Kelly, I was saying, telling him he'd done well on the Sunday game, and a text message. He says, I should be outside in the Gaelic Crowns, you know, while you're able to be around it and in that you'd like to be in it.
Yeah, it's fitting, definitely, but it's not surprising, though, you know, and that's ultimately, you know, and it might be surprising on a given, we're talking about it, we're trying to contradict ourselves earlier, that we're maybe a little bit surprised that Kenny are in the final, but they're always going to be there, you know. And I sound like as if I'm begrudging them being there, but that's just a natural kind of feeling when you come from Waterford. You know, it's just, they're always going to be there, you know. And if you, I'm blue in the face saying it, you know, if you really do your, like, there's 40 All-Ireland medals between the Kilkenny starters on Sunday, you know, 40. A new team, you know, transition, you know. Yeah. You know, transition, new team. You know, there's like, Owen Murphy is four, Paul Murphy is four. In the forward line alone, I think they have 19 medals, you know. TJ Reid is seven, Richie Hogan is seven, Colin Finlay is four. Walter Welch is three, they'll be more than that. My maths is not the strongest subject, but 40 All-Ireland medals, and Tipperary have 17, you know. Kieran's have been in the All-Ireland Colleges final 16 out of the last 20 years, in the final 16 of the last 20 years. So, and you know, just even from on the ground, in when you go up and play Thurles CBS or Temple Moor, or, you know, any of the teams up there, there's hurlers all over the place up there, you know. And I think that's, I sound like a kind of a bitter old man here now talking about it, but they're just always going to be there, and you have to have nothing but respect for them being there, if you like. Even on Sunday, there's Kilkenny back in the minor final. Nipped the minor championship 3 years ago. John Welsh got two goals there against Limerick. You know, against the head, they're always going to be there.
Looked well beaten in that minor Leinster final. You know, Wexford a good bit better than, you'd say, and they come through this round robin with Clare and Galway and
beat Limerick by 12 points then in the semi-final against the head again, you know. So,
yeah. And fairness, you flagged up that from one of our earlier podcasts about Kearns, and that they'll always be there, like they will be.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing about Kilkenny is that, again, repeat myself, the Henry Shefflin era, Eddie Brennan, Richie Power, Jackie Tyrrell, JJ Delaney, they're always going to be compared to those players. Like, that doesn't mean in their own right that they're serious hurlers themselves, you know. You have a forward line, the four fellas I mentioned, then you have the probable young hurler of the year in Mullen, and you have John Donnelly, who's a star for DCU over the years, you know. So you have the talent is there as well, you know. And same in Tipperary, Liam has done a massive job there. But, you know, it's only Jake Morris puts the ball in the net as opposed to hitting the net last year or hitting the post. And we could be talking about Tip being in a semi or All-Ireland as well, you know.
I'll ask you for a prediction. I hate doing it, but we'll do it because people expect to do it. But, you know, it's a, God, when we get to our age, sure, I leave the other flat. We won't include Kyle in this, but, you know, but the years, just the All-Ireland's roll into where they're going. I'm looking at that Offaly team coming out on Sunday. You know, we'll be coming out next year, God spare us. And, you know, that final is as fresh in my memory. Do you know, that Offaly late surge, and it's just it. But All-Ireland final day, for me, there's no more Irish day. All-Ireland hurling final day. Sorry, football people out there. Mike Kirk, you'll have to excuse us for that, and Tony and co. But, you know, All-Ireland hurling being so unique, you know, in a kind of a unique game and a unique sport. And it's magic to be involved in some form or anything, even punditry, or, you know, prefer to be in the dressing room beforehand, I'd have to say, in some capacity. But it's a magic day for Irish people, Irish GA people, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal day. It's as you say, you summed it up brilliantly there. Like, it's a very magical day. It's to be involved in the last day of the hurling season, like, you know. And I think the big thing is that you try to enjoy it, you know, but try to play to your potential, you know. And if you can prepare properly and not overanalyze it and overdo it, and take all the charade around the All-Ireland final with the suits and the tickets and all that kind of stuff, there's an element of being able to balance that and put all that away. So, and I think, you know, people that go there for the first time, that's where you need your people in the backroom team who've been there, who've done all this. I was interested to hear Derek last night again on the radio about, you know, trying to do everything yourself, how strong the backroom team is to be able to delegate the different jobs that needed to be done because there is so much to be done, and to trust that those people will say, yeah, you know, because they're part of it as well. I leave them do their job, and because at the end of the day, it's all about the match. It's all about being able to perform and play when the whistle blows at 3:30, that you can go out to play to your best and you take on the challenge. And to be part of it is absolutely brilliant, but it's over so quickly, you know, but to be able then to look back on it. So that's why, you know, I think this huge amount of people and hurling people around the country will go to the All-Ireland final no matter who's in it. You know, it's a very, very special day, as you say. Maybe the end of the year, the end of a decade, we go back to Tip and Kilkenny. So, you know, we all go up with great enthusiasm and optimism, looking, hopefully we'll get as good a games as we got in the past.
Yeah, and they're like, no doubt, the boy opposite us, and we'll ask him in a second, but like, you know, I'd say there's a good chance he will be there again too, somehow, you know. And like, you know, how, you know, would you be really saying to yourself, God, like, you mentioned last night a few things about, you know, I do things a bit different, doubting, and yeah, you probably didn't do too much wrong at all, but yeah, of course, yeah, it's those doubts and just getting back there and, you know, doing it again, and I'd say there's a desire there.
Ah, there is, yeah. I think it's a unique day, as you said yourself. It's a kind of just unique, you know. It's I went to my first final in 86, you know, I didn't miss the final since 86. I just, you know, just, you know, without sounding corny, like, it's just a day that kind of nearly defines how you live, like, really, you know, what you're about and who you represent, whether you've played inter-county, whether you've played club level. It's for every primary school teacher, every coach, every secondary school teacher, every coach and every club involved in the day. It's their day, like, and there's absolute equality in the day, I think. There's no snobbery attached to whether it's Brian Cody or whether it's Joe Dunphy, who started Kendry and them hurling in Ballyhale National School. You know, it's a day where there's a kind of coming together of all those. So your absolute desire is to get back. The warning lies in even ourselves in 17, and that you spent the winter saying, ah, we'll get back there, we're not too far away. And it's you know, even Kyle's scenario this year, you know, geez, I can't watch, the last 3 weeks have been hardship, you know, it is hard to get back there, you know. Particularly when you come from the outside group, if you like, you know, it's that little bit harder, and you have to take your chance when you're there, as Kyle and the lads did. So that's the fallback for Kilkenny and Tipperary. Not that they'll be thinking of that they'll probably only nip one out of four All-Irelands in the next 25 years, and as opposed to dominating, if you like. So yeah, just looking forward to the day itself, and yeah, that's what it is. It's about being from Ireland without being absolutely patriotic about it. That's who we are, really, you know.
Absolutely, and so you put it better than I did even during all, fair play to you. And Kyler, like, you know, I remember, you know, doing a session with you last year with Kildaima Palace Kinry, and like the absolute colour in the village and the two villages, I suppose, and was that like really driving you on already, nearly thinking of next year, saying, by God, I'm going to be there again. Like, if it's next year, it's not next year, it's to be the year after. Like, you are at that age, obviously, you know, so that'd be a huge motivating factor.
100%. Like, it's when you're not there, really, you kind of look back and say, Jesus, I'd love to be out in the field now, training for an All-Ireland final. Like, and I've been lucky enough the last few years, we have in an All-Ireland final, whether it's been minor, 21s or senior. Like, so maybe this year it's kind of a refresher now to show it actually, it does mean to be there, like, you know. And like, you know yourself, we're a small rural club, like, where I'm from, like, and it's your next door neighbour could be saying, oh, I know Kyle there, sure, yeah, isn't playing an All-Ireland final tomorrow, or it's, as Derek said, your primary school teacher or whatever. Like, and I think it's makes that a bit more special, because it's more of a family knitted community when it's smaller, like, you know. And it's I do believe it is very important to take a mental freshness, like, but I'll be going up to the match now Sunday myself, like, because I wouldn't bear to miss it, because it is going to be an epic match, like. But it is definitely important to take a mental freshness, because it's easy to say throughout the whole winter, I can't wait to get back here now, we're going to be there this year, and in the league comes, like, and you haven't won a match, like, so it's a hole you could fall into, so it's important to take a break, like.
Yeah, I'd have to hold my hands up on that one. That's what, like, and I think of you and that, like, I think of the likes of Patrick Daly, you know, what it meant, yeah, to him, you know, and he'd be texting me, so how do you think it'll go? And he'd be involved, obviously, with manager of your club, and how do you think it'll go, Dalo? And I'd be saying, I think, let me, you know, it's your year, you know, the time has come, and what it meant to him to having you there and having Barry on the panel as well, Barry O'Connell. You know, that's really what it's about, isn't it? I often thought of that. It's nearly family first, as Dan, you alluded to, Dan has alluded to that in your dressing room, and then it's nearly your club, you know, because that's the nurturing process, isn't it? And you think then you're representative then when you're with county, and what it means to the, even a guy who has nobody on the club, you're still representing him. And I think it goes in that sequence, and that's the way we kind of can put it in that kind of in those boxes, if you like, up along, you know, which is the only one I'd have to hold my hands and say the only one I couldn't go to was that 96 one with Wexford and Limerick. I said, will I go? And then I says, no, do you know what? I gotta stay at home. I just watching the television. I think I wound up some booze or drinking a few pints, feeling sorry for myself. Not that we might not have been there with the system at the time with knockout and all that, but yeah, what way do you see it going, Kyle? Who would you put your tenor on, since I lost my tenor on David Goff changing his mind there early on here?
Look, it's not an easy decision, and I've been thinking about it nearly all week, and what if he goes well and if this fella goes well, like, but this might sound a bit stupid, like, but I think if the game or tip are 5 or 6 points up with 10-15 minutes to go, it's theirs, like, but if it's any way in the melting pot at all, I can't see Kilkenny losing, to be honest. Like, if it's a point, 2 points in it, I can't see him losing, to be honest. I think it is going to be a tight game, so I'm going to say Kilkenny.
Larry, are you confident?
That's the kind of talk we want now. I gave Kyle a few quid earlier to talk up Kilkenny there. It's funny, I was like, Sheedy spent a lot of time earlier in the year talking about rebuilding the connection, like with the Tip supporters and all that. And I was, there's a nice interview in tomorrow's paper, I think Michael Minahan and Richie Stakelam, about the last 20 minutes of the Wexford match, and when something kind of reawakened almost, you know. And funny, I actually watched the semi-final over in Salou, in the Robin Hood bar in Salou, and there seemed to be no Tip lads in there, all Wexford jerseys, but something happened there when 20 minutes to go, all of a sudden the roars were going up in the pub even, you know, and something sort of drove them over the line there. So, I don't know, it is 50-50, but they did seem to, it caught fire in that last 15, as you saw, like, against Wexford, and if they could bring that, it might match the all-out war that sort of Kyle experienced in the first 15 minutes of the semi.
Yeah, it's a hard one to call, Dale. Like the lad said, I think to say, you'll be thinking about it at different times. You come up with different reasons for going with Kilkenny or going with Tipperary. Like, you know, questioned the full-back position with Tip and that sort of stuff. I think it was an open game. I think we'd all agree if the hurling is open and, you know, it's flying around the place, Tip certainly have the forwards that'll certainly trouble Kilkenny, and you'd expect them to win it. If there's a battle, and maybe the weather forecast, I'm not sure what it is and all, these all things, you know, impact on the game. And over the years, we've always seen something, some incident or some player does something that make a difference on the day. And who that is, I don't know. It's just very difficult to call. I just watched the two semi-finals, and I just thought the difference in intensity between the Kilkenny-Limerick match and the Tip-Wexford match, the Tip-Wexford game was so open. It was a brilliant hurling match, but The Kilkenny one and Limerick was so different, and I think Kilkenny will look to bring it to a war, like, that's what they're good at, and that's what they want to do it. If they succeed in that, I think they'll win. It's not sitting on the fence, but I think slight fancy for Kilkenny. I just think in the years, they've got their best team back, a couple of players in there, but again, I've had a few guys in UCC last year on both sides, so I wish them well, and I hope they all play well.
Yeah, I think Tip will win. I think the motivation, I think they have a bit of an edge as well. I think if you're Sheedy now, and you know, not that it'll be referenced afterwards, you know, Jackie's comments around, you know, I think there's a general perception in Kilkenny that if you get into Tipperary faces, that they'll crumble, you know, that they're brittle. And I think for me, there's no evidence of that really. Even last year, you know. You know, 10 points down against Cork in the first round of the championship. I think 10 points down against ourselves, 14 men come back, get the draw against ourselves in controversial circumstances. So I think, you know, I think that's probably been over kind of play that. So I think he's an advantage if he twists that to kind of basically say, I can see him now, came down to us in the club scene in 2012 before the county final. We had him on the Tuesday night, and he just drove the room, like, just came into the room, just spoke for about 8 to 10 minutes. And brought the room kind of to a new level of height. Milan is mad enough without having Sheedy in there, and he, you know,
and he's beating himself across the legs on the Thursday night.
The Tuesday night before the Sunday, and we were heavy favourites going into the final against Dungarvan. And just, I said to myself, Jesus, like, this fella's serious, you know. So I know he won't emphasise that if he wins Sunday, nor will Brian. They'll talk about the players and their roles, but I think he has the ability to maybe twist that to in terms of, hey, your character has been questioned here. So I actually expect Tip to bring a real high end intensity to it. I think they're the ones that will bring what has been talked about that Kilkenny are always bringing. And I think they are the ones that might bring the war. And that makes it even more interesting because we know Kilkenny will bring it. So I think it'll be head-on kind of collisions. And I just think Tip will find a way to get the goals, you know, to get the scores with their forwards. I agree, I heard Owen Kelly saying during the week they might find a way with their forwards. But I think they'll bring, I think the Dan McCormacks, the Niall O'Maras of the world, they're crucial, you know, in terms of what they're going to bring to it on Sunday. So I think Tip will win.
Yeah. Never mind predictions, Dale. Like, after the performance of Eamon Fitz and Mike Kirk on Monday, like, is there any kind of controversy we can drum up in Tip's favour here?
We've no one from Tip in here, like, bear yourself, unless you want to raise something, do you?
No, I'm racking my brains here now. Is there any kind of grievance we have with...
Except a lifetime of with Kilkenny, I'd say, and... Look, I'm like yourselves, as I just find it desperately hard, but I've just that feeling that, you know, when I think about the semi-final, I think about the 2 points after the sending off, then I think about Chin's goal, then I think about Tip fighting back, then I think about McDonald's goal, and you're saying, oh God, like, they just can't come back again, but they found a way. And I think, although the overall momentum was with Kilkenny, with beating Limerick and beating Cork, I think it just might be the momentum swing at the right time, even though it's only 20 minutes. But it just could be the most powerful 20 minutes, maybe get them over the line. I'm not, again, like that, Jar, with no massive conviction.
No, and again, Eamon O'Shea, again, I just throw back into the mix again. I just think that in the background that he's so good with getting forwards to find space and movement and getting scores and getting goals. You know, it's a very difficult one to call. So I just, as I said, we've been blessed, like, we're looking forward to going up to see great players. You know, some of the best hurlers that have ever played a game. So it's brilliant to see it.
So we'll say it's 2-2 here, but Larry has the casting vote, and we know who he's going for. Well, lads, look, we've gone over time as usual because we could talk all night about it, and we've already done a half an hour in the canteen. But lads, remember, and look, don't be afraid to leave a review. But you can listen to us every week, even though we're getting near the end of it. We're on again on Monday, so we'll be hoping we'll have all the answers on Monday. Of course, we'll know it all. You can listen to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, and irishexaminer.com/podcast. A rating and a review is always welcome. Thanks so much for listening. Hope it shortens someone's journey to Dublin from work or for wherever, and just love it, live it. For me, the Irish Day of the Year we're on the eve of it. So I'd say, you know, if anyone's lucky enough to have one of those golden tickets, get in there and enjoy it one way or another. Thanks, folks.
With Renault, passion for what drives you. Official car partner of the GAA.